Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and I'd like to ask you if you are quantumly entangled. And maybe that's good. What is entanglement? Maybe we can create some interesting information through our entanglements in this quantum field that we're in. But we need to know more about it. We need to understand, what am I talking about? How does this work? What is the quantum universe anyway? And what is entanglement? And how can we be entangled? So to help us define this better, to create clarity of our larger selves and the larger universe, is a guest who I've had on before, and he's an incredible inventor, incredible scientist, who is advancing opportunities in life. And it's Tom Palladino. Tom, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. Thanks for the invite back, Peter.
Sure. And I'm very excited to talk to you about this quantum, I call it quantum energy, and you call it scalar energy. Right. And how do they differ?
They're identical. Those terms are synonymous. So we're working with scalar energy. It's quantum entanglement. What do we mean by that? The universe is interconnected, and energy, specifically scalar energy, connects everything. Everything is entangled or concatenated, and that's true with this paradigm, with this force field, scalar energy.
So we are entangled, fortunately. And let's enjoy that and appreciate it, because that's really the oneness that so much of spirituality is about, is our connectedness. And the scalar field really demonstrates this connectedness, right?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
So we want to then become more expert at how this entanglement works. How do we create better oneness? How do we learn how to use it to create better health and better consciousness for ourselves, right?
That's right. That's correct. Scalar energy can also be considered the consciousness of the universe or the information system of the universe. We're not just speaking about heat or light. We're really speaking about the intelligence of the universe. Scalar energy is really the intelligence of God. And that's quite a profound concept when you think of that.
If we are all part of God, as many of us believe, then we are part of this entanglement of this intelligence of the scalar field. And the scalar field obviously would have to work on multi-dimensions as well, which we're not as well versed about, on how what the science about that is. But at least we know the science and how it reacts to us in this world. In working with scalar energy devices, we can actually see it in play, right?
Yes. That's correct. I am working with scalar energy devices, with scalar energy instruments. And in so doing, I'm able then to access that dimension. There's really two dimensions. There is the electromagnetic dimension, and we're familiar with that. That's electricity and magnetism. But there's another dimension. There's another paradigm, and that is the scalar energy or the ohm dimension or this universal life force dimension. They're two different energies, hence they have different properties, they observe different laws of behavior. And I prefer to work with this other dimension, which is the scalar energy dimension. And many people have theorized about this. Scalar energy is chi, prana, life force energy. Some people call it pyramid energy, orgone energy. Om is another term for scalar energy. All of this alludes to, all of this points to this other energy. Sadly, modern day man has ignored that there are two energies in the universe. And this scalar energy, in my estimation, is far superior to that of electricity. And this is why I've made a career out of scalar energy, and I'm trying to introduce this to mankind. If electricity is a benefit, my estimation is scalar energy is a much greater benefit
now, scalar energy is understood historically, too, because there was a scientist 100 years ago, Tesla, Nikola Tesla, who actually created, what's called a Tesla coil.
Yes.
And so he was a very advanced scientist, and he ran an automobile on this scalar energy.
That's correct. Nikola Tesla was an incredible electrical engineer in the early part of his career. But later in his career, Tesla discovered or started to work almost exclusively with scalar energy, this life force energy. And there was a time in his career that Tesla apparently created, invented, and perfected a car. He called it Pierce Arrow, a car that worked on scalar energy. And it's reported that he was driving around in upstate New York with his nephew, and his nephew told somebody, the car doesn't have any noise about it. It's really a silent running on account of the fact that it doesn't have an engine. And that's what the nephew of Nikola Tesla mentioned. And I could believe that. And well, how do we get around that? Well, it's the universe that's the energy. It's the universe that is the engine. I know that's a profound concept. You know, most people say, well, you need an engine for the car. Well, that's true in the electromagnetic dimension. But in a scalar energy dimension, the engine is the atmosphere filled with scalar energy.
So something has to drive the wheels, though. There has to be some machinery that drives the wheels.
That's correct. So the energy generation is what I'm getting at, is scalar energy. So the scalar energy vehicle that Tesla was driving simply had an instrument, a scalar energy instrument that could assume this power. And yes, in that sense, the scalar energy engine inside the car would serve to operate through the transmission and subsequently drive the car. So the key is this. Nikola Tesla was not driving a normal car in which that car engine operated upon gasoline, fuel. To the contrary, Nikola Tesla's car had a scalar energy engine, and the power source was the universe. It's free energy.
It's hard to comprehend that unless you see it operating. And now you've been a scientist for a long time in this field of scalar energy, and there are other scientists, too, that I'm sure that you've compared notes with. There's a guy, Konstantin Mel.
Mel,
okay. And he's in Germany, I believe.
That's correct.
And he has developed these Tesla coils. And obviously you have to be working with a Tesla coil in order to produce the scalar energy in your own device, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. My instrument does indeed use a Tesla coil. And that harkens back to the genius of Nikola Tesla. There's a certain geometry when you wind a coil, and that spiral, if you will, a coil, serves to beget a standing scalar wave. Why? Well, scalar energy in and of itself is coil-like. It's really a corkscrew configuration. It's a double helix. And a double helix, that geometry fits into the geometry of a Tesla coil. So, indeed, what Tesla developed, the Tesla coil, still stands true today. He was just an incredible mind, and he understood the geometry of the universe.
Right. And so there's a grid of these spirals that actually are the universe at work.
Yes, that's correct.
And we are embedded in that.
That's correct.
And our consciousness is embedded in that. So we're entangled. And so then it's about guys like you who put together instruments that work with this consciousness, this information, let's call it information field.
Yes.
The awareness, I guess, is our awareness using the information field.
Yes.
And so that's our job, to work with our awareness to develop this information to its nth degree.
That's correct. And that's the beauty of what we're doing. again, we're working with free energy. And I know that's a novel concept to somebody that's not familiar with this. Scalar energy is from the sun, from the stars. So we have an infinite supply of energy. You don't have to drill for this. You don't have to erect a grid system to deliver a current of electricity. It's free energy. Now, in application, it will be relatively inexpensive to manifest, to put into practice. So what I'm proposing and what Peter and I have considered frequently is that this is a new energy system in which we'll have, an infinite supply of this energy. It's clean. It leaves no footprint whatsoever. And you can transfer this energy. You can propagate it anywhere in the universe.
Would you say that the suns and these stars in the universe that are, you say, creating scalar energy, right. I would think that they have to use scalar energy, and what their job is to enhance it and empower it. But their energy also must come from some source. And wouldn't that be scalar?
I would say the ultimate source of scalar energy is the Creator, is God. And I would say that God has appointed these celestial bodies, our sun, the stars, as the points of origin for all light. I mean, you look at that realistically. Where is light originating from? Where does all light come from? It comes from the stars, from our sun. Now, I've observed, and so have other scalar energy researchers, that inside any star is a unique environment. And my conclusion is this. There's only scalar energy inside a star. At the very center of any star is scalar energy. All energy in the universe initiates as scalar energy, and then it begins to degrade as it moves away from the stars. But if you look at the very core of a star is purely scalar energy. There's no electricity inside a star. Hence, we see that a star is powered by this infinite supply of energy. And this runs counter to what so many people think, that there's some type of electromagnetic disturbance inside our stars or some type of electromagnetic activity. That's false. That couldn't be further from the truth.
Can scalar energy produce electromagnetic energy?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
All energy initiates as scalar energy as a double helix, and then when that double helix unbinds, if you will, then one strand, if you will, becomes an electrical impulse, the other becomes a magnetic impulse.
Okay. So that's, the reason I was asking is that I'm one of the founders of a fusion energy company, and we have the breakthrough technology for fusion energy. So we'll be creating fusion, in other words, power plants that create electricity out of using fusion that generates over 100 million degrees Fahrenheit, and then the electricity comes from that. So what we're doing is we're enhancing the scalar energy to enhance the electrical energy.
Yes, you are. At the very core of that experiment is a scalar energy environment. You can't have something so hot like that in purely an electromagnetic environment. So you're producing in some fashion scalar energy, which is converting into electricity. Well, that happens all the time in our universe.
Okay, that's wonderful to know. So let's look at what you're doing with your own scalar energy devices, because you're starting off with the Tesla coil, and we know that the Tesla coil can operate remotely or send energy remotely through the scalar field.
That's correct.
And so a Tesla coil can light up a light bulb at a distance. But the question is, how far is that distance? Is it around the world, or is it only several feet?
There's no limit. There's no limit. And the reason I say that, when you're working with scalar energy, once again, everything is concatenated, connected. It's quantum entanglement, as many physicists call it. And if you're working in a scalar energy force field, it's really one point. Since everything is interconnected, you don't have point A, point B, point one, point two. If everything is one homogeneous whole, and it is, then you only have one point. Hence, scalar energy transcends time and space.
Okay. It's
if we're in
holographic.
the electromagnetic environment, you have point A, point B. That's true and valid. But
right.
with scalar energy, there is no point A and point B. There are not multiple points. There is only one point.
But then again, there has to be ways of breaking it down into definition that you can use and program. So you're actually programming your scalar machinery, your scalar devices, to actually create different applications that help humanity.
Yes, yes. And let me explain how I'm treating people. I think that will bear light on this theory, on
okay.
this concept. When I treat people, all I need is their photograph. I place a photograph of a person inside my scalar energy instrument. Well, my instrument, my immediate surrounding, is a scalar energy environment. So a photograph of a person immediately allows me to connect, to enter into that dimension. And hence, we are already living in that dimension of scalar energy. Hence, I can treat anybody in the world by virtue of their photograph. A photograph is simply a means in which I can access a person through the scalar energy paradigm.
Well, let's just talk about form, because
okay.
a photograph has to do with form, and it's an intrinsic form that a photograph represents. It's a symbolic form of our personalities, of our identities. And somehow the scalar energy field can read these forms within the signs of a photograph of us, or even within, I think you can work with like some hair or skin of our DNA, because that also is information, right?
That's correct. Let's say somebody were to submit a blood vial to me, or their hair. Well, that represents that person. And I could actually
right.
take a blood sample and introduce it into my scalar energy instrument, and the instrument makes an automatic connection, an immediate, instantaneous connection. Why? Because that blood is still part of you. It's never separated. Even though your blood vial is separated from your body, your soma, you are still connected by way of scalar energy.
This is amazing, because what it says is that we are each holographic.
Yes.
And so you're the scalar machine is identifying the hologram of who we are through
yes.
information.
Yes. Yes. Imagine this. Let's say we sprinkle blood on the pavement, and there's 1,000 drops of blood. Those drops of blood are still concatenated, interconnected by way of scalar energy. They've never separated from one another. They never will. So we are indeed a holographic body, mind, soul. We are living in a holographic universe. Everything is incorporated into the hologram. Nothing is set aside. Nothing is separate from the hologram. Everything is within the hologram.
Well, the only difference I see is that the only thing that separates us differently, even though it's only, I think, a superficial separation, is our own consciousness, or that sense of separation that we have of awareness that is drawing from this information field to become ourselves. But the truth is that it's all the information field. And so a scalar device that would measure the information field that represents who we are holographically in the universe. And the only thing different is that we know who we are, but the machine only knows the information about who we are.
That's right. And all of this speaks to this wonderment, scalar energy, this incredible infinite intelligence. And that's where we're going with this. We have this ability to work with this information system that's never ending. Let's compare this to the cloud. A lot of people work with clouds today in information system, and it's wonderful. It's out there in the cloud, as we say. It's a database that we can access. Well, that's great, and that's accessible today by our computers, our information systems, and it's very necessary. Well, I've got a much better cloud. It's an infinite cloud, and it never makes a mistake, and there's never a computer glitch. The infinite cloud is scalar energy. That's the consciousness or the intelligence of the universe. That's where we're going. We're no longer going to be working with computer information systems. We're going to be working with scalar energy information systems that are far, far superior to our cloud of today.
Now, you're just getting started with your with the opportunities that scalar energy offers by having machinery that identifies who we are, the information about ourselves in the universe in the scalar field, and then you also identify different pathogens, different germs, and then you have the ability to alter them in some form in relationship to our identity, so that somehow it can clear this information that's in our bodies, let's say, that we have germs in our bodies that we don't want, whether it be fungus or parasites or bacteria or virus that we don't want, so we can identify their identity and somehow, as you say, as you've said, disassemble their identities so that they can no longer harm us.
Just identified a process with scalar energy in which you can direct this to break apart, to disassemble germs. Now, how do we do that? Well, scalar energy also is this incredible ability to either form matter or disassemble, break apart matter. Well, I've developed and perfected a technique whereby I can take my scalar energy instruments and I can break apart germs. I can disassemble viruses and bacteria, fungi, etc. All of this is by way of this control, this incredible control of scalar energy. And this is the gift of scalar energy. This is what this energy allows us to do. And in practice, I can easily break apart any pathogen, any germ. So what am I saying? With scalar energy, I have the means to control, to cure any pathogenic disease.
So you're changing some aspect of the spiraling of the information, right?
Yes, yes. By reversing the polarity on my instrument, I can break apart matter. So if you have an in-phase polarity, matter will assemble, it will form. If you direct energy out of phase, scalar energy, that serves as the intelligence, the reverse phase angle, to break apart, to disassemble matter. Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm able to break apart germs by reversing the polarity and simply broadcasting the reverse phase angle that serves to unbind, to break apart the molecular bonds.
Right.
If I took the HIV virus and I wanted to break it apart, I simply broadcast the reverse phase angle of the HIV virus, and that information serves to break apart, to deconstruct that germ, that virus.
And you can show how that works in a laboratory environment, right?
I've looked under a microscope before in which I've actually worked with bacteria, and I could with my naked eye, I could see how I changed the molecular constitution of a bacterium, how I could actually break apart a bacterium.
Okay, so scientifically, it's grounded, what you're doing.
Right.
It makes sense because you can witness it.
Yes.
Okay. And so because for a lot of people, this is new territory,
sure.
And it's hard to understand it and
sure.
Think that it's real science because it sounds far-fetched, but all you need is the proof.
Exactly. Proof is coming in. My website has so many testimonials. Some people are now submitting their DNA tests. Those are known as polymerase chain reaction tests. That prove that they no longer have any viral load of HIV or herpes or hepatitis. All of that is pointing to the cause and effect relationship that I'm experiencing, which is people at one time, they had the herpes virus. After I treat them, a PCR test or this DNA test cannot show any detectable viral load. So I need to replicate that hundreds, thousands of times, and that will be replicated in the future. My point is this. All systems are go. My research is sound. I can indeed break apart germs, and with that, the door is opening in order for us now to be able to easily cure thousands of pathogenic diseases.
And so the idea is to see where else this can go. I mean, there's so many applications for working with the information field.
And that's a very pertinent point, Peter. If scalar energy can control matter, well, bluntly stated, we can either assemble, form the matter that we want, what is favorable, and we can disassemble, we can break apart toxins and pollutants and pathogens. We can break apart what is unfriendly.
Right.
So with this, scalar energy is going to give us the ability to control, to master our physical universe. We will be able to have mastery over atomic and molecular form.
And we can also add a lot more to our information in our bodies, in our psyches, to enhance ourselves.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
So we're really running out of time, and I want people to know how to connect with you.
Sure. My website is selfhealgo.com. Visit the website. I've written hundreds of articles about scalar energy and my research and my results. I'm filled with hundreds, actually thousands of testimonials now as to people getting well and overcoming sickness, specifically pathogenic sickness. Selfhealgo.com is the best start if you want to reach me.
Okay, selfhealgo.com and Tom Palladino. This is wonderful talking with you, and I'm sure that we'll talk again.
I'm sure we will. I enjoy these conversations, Peter.
Thank you, Tom. And thanks for being a guest on Energy Stew. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for calling. And thank you so much for listening.